And joining us now on Jewish Community Radio is none other than Noam Bedin from the Sderot Media Center in Israel. Noam, welcome to Jewish Community Radio.
Thank you, friend. It's great to be here.
Glad to have you here. Before we go into what the Sderot Media Center is, tell us, how did you get your start involved with Sderot?
Well, the truth is, Fred, I moved to Sderot over 2 years ago. I actually became a student for the Sapir College, which is located right outside of Sderot. And I very fast became a student for Sderot, experiencing rockets and missiles being fired into the town itself. At the time, there was no public office or governmental office that was dealing with the human crisis. And basically, and that's why I've established the Sderot Media Center, to become a voice and face of the residents and to speak out for them in the Israeli society and towards the world's opinion about what people have to live through on a daily basis.
And you create this all by yourself?
Well, yes. Well, my dad, David Bedin, he's been working in the media field for the past 20 years. Actually, when I moved to Sderot, he told me maybe I should go meet the different terror victims. At the time, there were seven terror victims. Today, it's 12. And to liaison between small groups. And basically, I just went around for a month and a half to get a formal and professional understanding about this rocket reality. And therefore, it became something very serious. And today, actually, Fred, our Sderot Media Center is considered the official voice and face of 45,000 Israelis after the Foreign Ministry of Israel asked us to provide every single Israeli diplomatic office around the world with our media packets emphasizing the human story of the residents. And this became the Israel perspective today.
So you went as a student. Are you still a student as well as doing this?
Yes, I'm still a student. But right now, I took the year off since I have six staffers back in Sderot, and it's
wow.
not easy to work. This is literally 24/7. I put my entire life right now on the side, and as my dad says, I'm too busy chasing rockets than girls, and that's my problem today.
Well, it's a good problem for the world, and we got to thank you for the work you're doing. Now, part of your work in education is making sure people know what's happening there. There are many places around the world, and you've done a great job putting out videos on YouTube so people know what's happening when it comes to terror rockets attack hitting residential neighborhoods.
In fact, until today, in the past 2 years, over 400 million people were exposed to the rocket reality in Sderot. And presenting today's Sderot through the media is basically presenting the Israel perspective. We basically hosted in Sderot the biggest media outlets, including the New York Times, the Sunday Times Magazine of London, Boston Globes, LA Times, the Euronews, which is a broadcast of 200 million. In the same time, we've been producing and basically sending out material in any creative way as possible, if it's short documentaries, videos, photo exhibits, photo albums, basically any way as possible to create awareness in the Israel society and in the world's opinion with what's going on.
Let's talk about Sderot as a city, the human side. How many people live there? How many schools are there? How many children?
Well, today in Sderot, there's less than 20,000 residents. The numbers are talking about between 17,000 to 19,000 in the past 4 years. Between 4,000 to 7,000 people have left. The town itself is a beautiful town. We're talking about the Jews that came from North Africa, from the Arab countries, from Iran, Iraq. And in the past 15 years, the Jews that came from Mother Russia, as they say, and Ethiopia. So you got a beautiful community, different kinds of people in one tiny place.
Now, these houses, or these trailers or apartments, or what does the city look like?
Well, this is what's considered a development town. It's a working class environment. So you got, you know, simple homes, and at the same time, you got on the western part of Sderot, you got beautiful cottages, beautiful penthouses. But again, it's if you go inside a beautiful home in Sderot, you see how entire families are living all together with the two parents and five children for the past 4 years. I mean, people have a beautiful house in Sderot, but they cannot live in the second floor because you won't have enough time to run downstairs in those 15 seconds once the siren goes off until the rocket actually explodes into the town.
And speaking of rockets exploding in town, you have 15 seconds when it goes off, the siren goes off, a warning. Is the center being manned by people watching for those attacks? Tell us what happens in those brief few seconds when before the siren goes off.
Well, this is, by the way, part of the challenge today is to express this psychological impact in Israel and outside. And I always start a presentation saying that the daily news broadcasts in Israel in the past 3 years are talking about two Qassam rockets that fell in Sderot. No injuries, no harm done. Maybe two people were treated for shock into the weather report. And the question is, can anybody grasp the meaning of shock, anxiety, or trauma through listening to that same news broadcast, watching it on the television news. Again, the whole psychological impact is not in the media. So basically what goes through your mind almost every single day when you leave your doorstep is when and where the siren is going to go off. Where is it going to catch you? If you'll have enough time to run for shelter, and where the rocket is going to explode.
So walk me through this. The siren goes off. What happens?
Well, it depends where you are. You could be at your home. You could be while driving. You know, hearing from a mother a few months ago, explained to me while she was driving in her car around the town, the siren went off and she needed to jump out of her car. She went to her back seat and she needed to choose what child to grab on first to run as close as she can towards her wall or shelter. You have basically all around the town, you got bomb shelters scattered next to the central bus station, next to the marketplace, next to the high school, next to the schools, next to the playgrounds. You know, by the way, for me as a photojournalist, when you try capturing different moments and elements in one photograph, when you see a playground and a bomb shelter in one photograph, you understand how this reality is completely unacceptable. And by the way, I should be telling you right now, the concept of Sderot and the fact that not more people understand about this rocket reality is understanding what we're dealing with. Sderot today is considered the only town, and the Western Negev is considered the only region in the entire Western world where you've got rockets and missiles that are being fired daily upon civilian population. Understanding how reality became acceptable, there's basically legitimacy to today for terrorism. Understanding how this is continuing going on, like no other place in the world, is definitely opening different doors around the world, doors that we did not want them to be open.
Paint me a picture of where Sderot is in Israel on the map.
Okay, well, Sderot is located on the southern western part of Israel. It's a 15-minute drive from the coast, from Ashkelon, the city, the nearest biggest city.
A big city.
Ashkelon. Ashkelon
yes,
is a
very
population
big city.
Of 120,000. It's been bombarded, by the way, in the past 2 weeks. It's a 45-minute drive from Tel Aviv, which is the center, an hour and 15 minutes from Jerusalem.
So this is not someplace in the middle of nowhere. This is actually a city that people can go to. For people who live in New York City or L.A., that's not even a commute to work. For people who live in Cleveland, that's basically driving, not even across town. This is not some far distance away place in Israel. This is pretty much a city that's very central to almost any big city in Israel.
Yes, that's basically, that is Israel, basically. It takes you 7 hours from north to south. This is a tiny country. It's amazing how Sderot is actually very close to the center of Israel itself.
And these terrorist attacks are hitting you. And someone once said to me, and tell me if this makes sense to you, or if this is correct, I should say. Someone once said to me, if Sderot is abandoned, some other city will be attacked next. Is that true?
Well, I could phrase it in different words. Part of our experience is to arrive to families first thing in the morning after they've been hit the night before. And I always ask the families, why still living here? Why still staying in this home together with your family and children? And the answers you would get is, why am I still living in this town? Is one, first of all, we were pretty much stuck in the town. The real estate went down over 50%, meaning we cannot sell or rent out our apartment. So basically, we're pretty much stuck in the town. And the second reason you would get is you'd actually hear families saying, if I leave my home now, these rockets will be going on to the next town. People understand if Sderot falls, everything else is going to follow it and fall after Sderot. Today, I think, by the way, Sderot is a live test, is a test for us as Jews, as non-Jews, as the Israeli public, as the Western free world, if we're able to stand behind Sderot residents' legitimate right to live in security and peace in their own hometown without worrying sending their children to schools, not knowing if they'll be seeing them at the end of the day.
I guess that brings up a very good question. Is every resident of Sderot Jewish?
Nope. You've got actually a few. You got an Arab population living there as well from Gaza,
and they stay there because they want to protect Sderot, or why?
That's a good question, actually. They moved there for the first hand because they helped Israel with different occasions dealing with terrorists. Until today, they're just staying in Sderot. I'm not sure maybe if they're able to leave Sderot. I'm not really sure.
Interesting
about that. Yeah, that is interesting. And it's more than that, actually. You have also the Bnei Menashe. the Jews that came from Peru. So I'm always trying, actually, when I get back, this is actually my next article, how's it to be leaving a country like Peru or anywhere elsewhere from South America and coming to the bombarded city of the town of Sderot? It could be pretty interesting.
Speaking of articles, I've seen your articles in many publications. Where can people read your articles?
Well, first of all, we have a website. It's sderotmedia.com.
Can you spell that, please?
That's sderotmedia.com. And basically over there, we have our articles, our blogs, our stories, our short videos, our photo exhibits, giving people the human side of the story, giving people more knowledge of what's going on.
Now, one of your videos I see on YouTube, actually a few of them are kind of scary, in that they show the warning of the imminent rocket attack. And in my mind today, of course, I can't really play it here, but maybe I'll stick in the audio here. The words... Tseva Adom, red alert. Very scary. What goes through your mind when you hear that? I mean, you're probably desensitized to it a little bit, but it's got to be scary to suddenly hear a red alert in your own hometown.
It sure does. It's even more than that, actually, when I'm here traveling around, when I go like to a train station or bus station, someone's just speaking over the microphone, over the loudspeaker phones, and you hear the kk going off of a microphone. Now I'll automatically get in this mode of I have to take cover. Look, basically, I personally have the army adrenaline. Once I hear the siren going off, I know I have to not only get close to a shelter, but I have a mission, and I have my weapon with me today, which is the camera, and that is to document every single angle of the devastation. And you were just mentioning about these videos. In the past 2 years, we're able to contain hundreds of hours of raw footage of children running for their lives into the schools themselves, of rockets exploding into the town, interviews with children, with psychiatrists, with residents, devastation of rockets. We have so much material, and by the way, part of our potential is to put all this together into a documentary. You could just imagine having a 60-minute documentary being shown on BBC or primetime National Geographic. People should understand, by having one documentary, this can literally change the entire rocket reality.
And people can find many of these videos that you've made already on YouTube by searching on the word Sderot,
S-D-E-R-O-T, media. And you can definitely see our short video. And by the way, they're all short videos, because today when you're competing with 60 to 100 channels today on cable, trying to show people just in 2.5 minutes what's going on, that's part of our challenge today. And some that are really powerful. And I know for a fact that these videos have been exposed all around the world. And the effect of these videos, I know for, again, these videos were able to save lives eventually. I know that for a fact again.
You know, and what brings you to Cleveland?
Well, actually, first of all, it's a pleasure to be here in Cleveland, since my mother's family grew up here 40, 50 years ago. My grandfather, Dr. Bill Rosenblum, was the principal of the Hebrew Academy here 50 years ago. So it's been a privilege and honor to be here. I just spoke at the Green, what was the synagogue called?
Green Rose Synagogue.
Green Rose Synagogue this past Shabbos, and it was a real honor to be here. And basically, I've been going around with Beitar and the ZOA, the Zionist Organization of America. They've been sending me around. This is actually my sixth time traveling abroad to North America, giving presentations all around college campuses and high schools, giving people understanding what's going on, and at the same time to inspire them to stand up to what is right. So I've been here since Friday, just giving presentations to college campuses.
Yeah, I believe you've been at Case, you've been at Kent State, and I believe you have a full packed schedule over this entire week. And by the time this is going to air, unfortunately, you will be out of Cleveland already. We were unable to get you because of technical difficulties. We didn't get you on the air Sunday last week. But still, nonetheless, the work you're doing is amazing. People can find your videos on your website. Spell that again, please.
Sderot Media. That's www.sderotmedia.com. That's S-D-E-R-O-T media.com. And just for one last thing, for people to understand what we're dealing with, again, the bottom line what we have here today, we have a reality which became acceptable like no other place in the world. Our job, first of all, is to undermine what became legitimate, undermining the legitimacy of terrorism by exposing the human story, the human's true story of Sderot and the whole Western Negev. And the more we expose what's going on, not only the more hope we give to the entire region, but more, it's the more lives we can actually save. And at the same time, we're backing up Israel with its PR, which is so much needed, as everyone here knows. And again, what people see, what people read and hear, being thousands of miles away out of Israel, this is what actually people know. And therefore, without getting people through media elements, we cannot get absolutely anywhere. And with no doubt, the next confrontation, the next missile escalation in the Middle East is with no doubt Sderot Gaza. It is crucial for Israel to keep on showing the Israel perspective in order to balance the picture for people outside, to get a balanced picture. And the more the balanced the picture is, the more people understand what's going on, the more hope we could get into the entire region. And right now, we're getting ready for the end of the ceasefire, which is on the 19th of December, which is the last less than 1 month, and we're dealing with almost 10,000 rockets, missiles, and mortars that are being displayed at this moment in Gaza, being ready to be fired upon Israel. It is crucial for us to keep on doing what we're doing by exposing the Israel perspective. And at the same time, we became a social media service. And at the same time, we're training students how to educate, how to become professionals on Sderot Gaza. By people understanding what's happening in Sderot Gaza, this is giving people the tools how to present the basics of the Israeli-Arab conflict abroad.
Noam, you're a very good spokesman. I want to thank you for joining us here. And with your permission, we're going to post this on our website, jewishcommunityradio.org, so people can download and listen to it. And of course, your website is really what people should be visiting in order to get the information you have, as well as your videos and updated news. And I want to thank you for joining us here on Jewish Community Radio.
All right, Fred, it's been a pleasure to be here. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.